Okay, today's daf is the Lamed He, and in the Mishnah we're discussing the Tnai. Well, the second part of the Mishnah was. Well, sorry, we're talking about Tnai the whole time, but the real critical debate between Rav Hananya ben Gamliel, whether you need a Tnai kaful when it comes to Kiddushin. Okay, now if you remember, Rabbi Meir holds that you need a Tnai kaful. A Tnai kaful means you're going to say what's in the positive and negative, and if you don't, we completely disregard the Tnai altogether. And should be a Kodesh no matter what. However, if you remember Rav Hananya ben, or Hanina, maybe ben Gamliel, we've got Hananya's gears in front of us, is he says, no, that by Tnai Bnei Gad and Reuven, it was critical that you said the opposite. I mean, what would happen if they didn't go? Because it would have been vague, the result. And that's why you needed a Tnai kaful there, but it doesn't mean that for a Tnai condition to work, you always need a Tnai kaful, only if there's ambiguity. Okay, the Gemara now says as follows. So we're dealing with that part of the mission. Now this is really questioning the position of Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel that there was an ambiguity. It says ilu manda amar bini ploni yased va ploni v'yotul chefetz ploni. Let's say a man says to his children, if so and so does such and such a thing, he will get some money. Take out the word v'shar b'nei Yerushua v'nechasai. So the Gemara says, "In avad hu nisiv, in lo avad non nisiv." Why would you assume that his Yerusha, if you like, it would be completely dependent on him doing that activity or not? In other words, remember what the ambiguity was. The ambiguity was is you might have thought that if they didn't do the Tanai, I mean, if they didn't go into war, they wouldn't get any chelek in Eretz Yisrael or transfer or Eretz Yisrael. So he says, "Why that ambiguity doesn't make sense? Because if a father says to his son, do such and such a thing, and I'll give you X." That doesn't imply that if he doesn't, he'll lose a chelik of the Yerusha. There's no ambiguity whatsoever. The Gemara says no. Oshniyahi, actually, there is ambiguity. Why specifically in our case by Bnei Garavot? Because it says latet letisha hamatot v'chatzia matzeh. That it's already part of it was the Moshe command. Moshe Bnei Yisrael lemor zot haaretz asher timcha lo'otav begoral ashetziva Hashem latet tisha matot v'chatzia matzeh. So therefore, the parallel case would be, since you're talking about Eretz Yisrael being inherited specifically by the 9.5, havadu amar bnei ploni, it's like a person saying that so-and-so will do such a thing, like that this son, the oldest, he will go and do such and such, v'lo chefetz ploni, v'ashar and the rest of my sons will yirshu my property. That's what it would sound like more. Therefore, in avad hu nasiv, if in lo, aved lo nasiv lo mikah v'lo mikah. Because otherwise, sorry, just so Rav Yisrael's waiting. In that situation, since he's already said that my other sons will inherit the remainder, it would seem to imply that if the son that was being highlighted to say you should do such and such a thing and you receive it, it implies if he doesn't do, he doesn't get anything at all. So there is indeed ambiguity, and that's why it had to be a Tanaka full baru b'nei gad and reuven. Okay, now this part, this Mishnah, from here on, pretty much most of the shiur to the end of to the next Mishnah. It's a sug we saw in Eruvin, and we'll explain it like we explained in Eruvin with like when Reb Chaim. You'll see the part where we sort of diverge from the Korbanator's explanation, but let's continue. So it's Tamatanina. Matne Adam al Eruvin. So there's a mission in Eruvin that someone can put down to Eruvin, and he can make a condition. Matne Adam al Eruvin. Well, it says, and that is, if you remember, he says he's putting what now? Let's just do Chazara, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. If you remember, there's an issue that someone cannot walk out of his tchum more than 2,000 amot. And here we're talking about Eruv with tchumim. So what person can do, let's say he's worried about, the case was goyim coming, and he wants a means of escaping from them. Obviously not sakanat nefashot in that situation. But he says, if they come to the east, I'm putting an Eruv tchum to the west, and that will buy me more distance. I'm able to walk on Shabbos to the west. But if they come to the west, then I want to go to the east. So then I'm putting another eruv down, and it can stipulate, saying if they come from this side, then this is the then the other side is what's going to be kona from now, and vice versa. Okay, so the Gemara says quite clearly, matne adam al eruvav. Doesn't mean, in other words, the tnai is, as we said, this is a situation where he's making tnai stipulating regarding both these two eruvin. That's a simple way of explaining it. Reb Chaim back in Reuven went into a lot more detail, but we'll leave that for now. I think we may mention it then. So just to appreciate this in Eruvin, that it says in this situation, if they come to this side, I want to be this side, come this to this side. But if they don't come, I'll just show you. Man tanda tzarch ladot im ba'u v'im lo ba'u mikan mikan, hareni k'bnei iri. That there is, the Tanna also says, look, if they don't come on either side, then I want to be like the Bnei Ir. Who's the shita that says you actually have to say the negative as well? Because it would seem to be implicit in what you just said. Meaning, if it comes to the right, I want it to be to the left. If it comes to the left, I want to be to the right. Mashma what? If it's neither, I want to be in Bnei Ir. But nonetheless, we require him to, the Tanna says, he has to say, if he doesn't come either side, then I want to be like Bnei Ir. So the Gemara says, that's Rebbe Meir. Now, you have to be careful here, because Hayden Rebbe Meir, which Rebbe Meir are you talking about? So Gemara says, Chavraya Amrim Rebbe Meir de Kiddushin. It's Rebbe Meir, like we just said in Asugina, and that's why I'm bringing it here. Meaning the Meir of our Mishnah. The Tanna Amar Elisha, Hareyat Mekudeshet, Amanash Yerdu Geshamim, Yerdu Geshamim, Mekudeshim, Lavein Mekudeshet. So here, it's not exactly the wording of a Mishnah, but the Rebbe Meir of, in, let's talk in Kiddushin, that if someone says to a woman, you're Mekudeshim on condition it rains. Like it's a day. If it rains today, you're mekudeshet to me. Vim lav, but if not, so therefore, what we're saying, which means that if it, that we simply say, look, if it rains, I'm mekudeshet, if not, not. However, Mera says no. Ben shiardu gushem, ben shlo yardu gushem, mekudeshet ad shichbol tnayel, which is that whether it rains or not, it's irrelevant. Why? Because the tnay is not a good enough tnay. Rebbe Meir says that it has to be what's called a tnai kaful. And because he says, if it rains, well, he didn't say what would happen if it doesn't rain, so we completely disregard the whole tnai, she's mekudesh regardless. That's shitat Rebbe Meir. Any tnai that's not a tnai kaful, we completely disregard it from the picture. Fantastic. However, hakol modim, everyone agrees, she im amar le'isha rei mekudesh li, le'achar sheyardu geshamim, then yardu geshami mekudeshet v'im lavein mekudeshet. If Abui says, do you mekudeshet to me after, like when it rains, that's a different thing altogether. Because now it's not like a t'nai, it's just saying you're giving a time when it's chal. It's like saying you mekudeshet after 30 days. Okay, very simple. What we've just explained here is let's go back again. In Masech the Reuven it says, with the case of the goyim coming to the west or the east, and he says it will be the east or west, and then you have to all say if they don't come, and either way, I want to be like Bnei Iri. Who holds that? It must be like Rebbe Meir in Kiddushin, because Rebbe Meir in Kiddushin says any tnai that's not a tnai kaful is not considered a tnai. Therefore, you need a tnai kaful. And that's going to be critical, because if you don't have a tnai, then all this whole thing falls apart. This whole exercise is trying to do to try and work out, you know, have means to walk on Shabbos in a direction that will be satisfactory. And we'll get to that in the Mishnah in more detail. However, the Gemara now says no. And from this point on, we're really working like Reb Chaim specifically. He says no. Reb Yossi says it's Remer de Reuven. It's Remer de Reuven. Detanina Taman. In other words, it's not based on the din in Tnai, meaning what makes a good Tnai or not. It's based on Medin Safek, which is a bit like the necessity to have a tnai kaful, because without it, in these cases, it wouldn't be clear what the din is. What the opposite case would be that's not explicitly stated. So this is, let me explain why. Tanina taman im safek remer Rebbe Yehuda orim hareza chamar gamal. What's im safek? Now that's a case where, and I'll just show you the korbanet. It says reisha min nitgal eruva chutz latchum mi ba'od yom. In Eruv, Mishachat Shecha, Hareze Eruv. Im Safek, Im Nat Gel Mi Bayom, O Chashecha, then is this Chamar Gamal. And the Korbanet goes to a lot of detail to explain this. So I'll just explain briefly outside. If you remember, someone has to be able to reach their Eruv they're putting down. This is the amount of food they're putting in a distant location to say, that's my Makom Shvita. And from here, I can walk in all directions 2,000 Amot. What happens, though, is he places it before Shabbos and he comes home. Then it's discovered that it actually, the wind took it and blew it far away, to the extent that it was outside the tomb of the city, so that on the onset of Shabbos, he wouldn't have been able to reach it. But we don't know when that happened. If it rolled out before Shabbos, then the Erev Tum was an Erev, good Erev Tum. If it happened after Shabbos came in, then that's fine, because he could have reached it, and that's his Erev Tum. Okay? So because there's a Safek, what the concept of chamar gamal, that we said, is almost like being pulled or slipped in two directions. He can only walk in the overlap, meaning the overlap of the regency could work as a result of the Erev Tchum, and the overlap in terms of how much he could walk if he didn't have that Erev Tchum. He was one of the B'nai Yir. So it's likely to just to be the 2,000 amot between him and the, if you like, the Eruv itself. Okay? That's what it means, Chamar Gamal. So it's just the overlap. So the Gemara now says, let's explain. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Lo Amar Rabbi Meir El Chumrin. Now, the Chumrin here, Korbanet explains this. This is where it really changes from the Korbanet. Sorry, Reb Chaim explains, which here different for the Korbanet. He says the Chumrin means Rabbi Meir is so machmir because in that he can't walk at all anywhere, not even the overlap. That's what it means, the Chumrin. As opposed to Korbanet says, no, the Chumrin means the Kiddushin is machmir, which we'll get to. That the Reb Chaim accepts that, but that's much later on. But he says it means the Chumrin can't, and the Gemara says Amar Ravana v'Yud, it makes sense because. Insert the words Nami lo Havi Shekvar Natan Dato Lakor Dlag Bimnei Iro. So why can't he walk anywhere? That is because he can't rely on the Eruv that he placed down, because that Eruv maybe wasn't a good Eruv on the onset of Shabbos. But you've got another problem, is that because he didn't want to be like the B'nai Yir, he wanted to be go by the Eruv. That means he can't rely on being a Chavmi B'nai Yir. So therefore, he's stuck. It's worse. He doesn't even have the overlap. Okay? So too here, we're saying by Kiddushin, V'hachal Rishon Ein Mekudeshet. So here by Kiddushin as well, what he's saying is it's the same type of din. It's not, not when I say here, I mean by the case of the Geshamim. It's not because there's a special din in a Tnai, that a Tnai must be a Tnai Kaful, otherwise it's not a din. It only has to be Kaful when there's a resulting potential ambiguity. How does Reb Chaim say by Kiddushin there's a potential ambiguity? Because if he says or Mekadeshet Almanat that it rains, on the condition that it rains, and if it doesn't rain, then not Mekadeshet, but he doesn't say that. He says on condition it rains. It could quite simply be, the suffix is that it could be that, it was a cloudy day. He was quite certain it was going to. And shock horror, it doesn't rain, but he wasn't really locked into that tonight. So there's an ambiguity, there's a suffix in what he was really saying. That's what Reb Chaim explains back in Eruvin. So therefore, Hachal is shown in Mekudeshet, but because the Tanai may have held. Therefore, the Rishon and Mekudeshet Gushamim, because it didn't rain, because maybe the Tanai did stick. And to the Sheni, even if somebody else, if you like, ended up trying to make to Kiddushin to her, also you couldn't be Mekadesh to her, because maybe that Tnai wasn't really Shelo Kafal Tanor, there was this ambiguity left. So in other words, what it's saying is, even by Kiddushin, it seems to be, there's a, the whole thing within Shedarim Meir is nothing to do with the Din and Tnai, that a Tnai per se has to be a Tnai Kaful. It could just be in the case of Kiddushin with the Almanat Sheir Gushamim, and also in the case of Eruv, is that there's we don't know what the din would be. You can't, there's an ambiguity left in our situation. Not an ambiguity. There's a suffix left. So just like, let's just explain once again. Just like in the case of with the Eruv rolled out, there's a suffix in terms of whether he is. Like go, whether it was by the Eruv or whether because it was Akaret, that's why he can't walk anywhere. And so too with Matne Ada Eruvin, there'll be a, if you like, a suffix that maybe when he says, I want my Eruv to be, this is an important part I forgot to add, that I want it to be the, west if they come from the east and the west. But maybe there's going to be issue that he is Akaret more completely from his own place. So therefore what you need, you would need also the Tanai Kaful to make sure to say that if that would come in either place. I'm not oker at atzmi from my being chad mebnei ir. Again, ambiguity is there. Therefore, we need to ensure that there's no suffix. And so, to hear by your gushamim as well, there's a suffix in terms of what his intent is. If you only say, if it rains, we're getting married if it rains. But again, it was cloudy. The forecast said it was raining. Maybe he was so sure it was going to rain, but maybe that wasn't his true intent. So too, the Reb Chaim explains it here that. We need to have the Tanai Kaful to say if it doesn't rain, not Mekudeshet, because to get rid of that suffix. Okay? Fine. So in other words, is it what's Rebbe Meir's position? Is it Tanai Kaful we need it technically to make it a solid Tanai? Or not Salada, there's a din in a Tanai that's bekaful, even if there's no ambiguity, or only where there's a ambiguity. So the Gemara says, okay, so Rav Chagai by Kamei Rav Yosef, Vehen im lo, so if you have a look here, when Moshe Rabbeinu talked to the Bnei Gad Reuven, it says, im lo ya'avru chalotzi mitche v'nocha zu betochem v'eretz Kanaan. That's im. So importantly, im lo, that's the terminology from the Pasuk. Here, the Reb Chaim changes the Girsa. He says, kelacheru, kelacharu. Meaning, im means that it's going to be like based on a future event. And therefore, he says, this is like Shittat HaRaiva, this explanation, that if you remember, Rebbe Meir agrees that if he says, like, your Mikdash should be when it rains, then it's not like it's night. It's talking about a future event and it's continued on that. So im as well seems to be a future thing. So this is a deal in Shittat Rebbe Meir. In other words, when does Rebbe Meir need Tanai Kaful or not? Okay, is it, according to the Ravid's reading, which he's explained it like now, he'll switch it later on, but he says, when it's im, he doesn't need Tanai Kaful. It's only when it's Almanat that you need to, if you like, oker the Meiser, because Almanat means it's happened, I'm doing a Meiser now, and it will, the Chalut will happen right now, contingent on a future event. That's when you need this Tanai Kaful to tear it up. But if it's like a future event, meaning based on im, if such and such happens, then the chalut is happening in the future, so I don't need to worry, like I don't need a Tanai Kaful. It's a bit like saying when it rains. So if that's the case, what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu, Bnei Gad, and Bnei Reuven? That was, he uses the terminology of im. So why did you even need a Tanai Kaful in the case of Bnei Gad and Reuven? That's also based on if such and such happens in the future, you will get it. So the Gemara explains, actually, no, you have to be careful, the Gemara says, it says, Amar al-Lashnia hi shaita aretz lifneihem v'hum v'vukash latziyam yadam. Meaning, in the case of Bnei Gad and Reuven, they're already muhzak bo, right? And it's like k'mo me'achshav. And what he's trying to do is trying to make a condition to remove that land from the chazaka, so it's not like a classic im, it's more like me'achshav, and that's why in the Tanai Kaful. Fine. The Gemara now says, Rabbi Yehuda bar Sisin, Rav Pazi says, b'shem Rav Acha, yardu simfon b'shitat Rabbi Meir l'kidushin. Now, simfon, we've been explaining symptoms like the Tnaim in a Kiddushin. He says like a Shtar Irusin, but the point is that we're, again, this means like Shtar Rebbe Meir. Why? In Kiddushin, meaning Kiddushin in a Tnai Kaful. Because Rav Chananya Chavrin Rabbanan by Lama Lik Rebbe Meir. Afi look Rabbanan. Why do you have to say like Shtar? Maybe it could even be like Rabbanan. Why? Lo ken Amar Rabbi Vav B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan Seder Simfon Ken Hu Kachu. That this is the Tanai you put in Kiddushin. Ana palin bar palin. Mekadash lich anat ant, sorry, palnit bal ploni, which is the symphony we saw before. Al manat li ten lich, I'm going to give you makamat such and such a mesama mani ploni. Or michnas sinach, and I'll bring you in. Leon ploni, meaning you'll get married such a day. Ve in ata, if the time arrives, v'lo kinestich lo v'alecha klom. There you see, it's a Tanai Kaful. The Gemara says, "V'yomer," but I can get around this. Now here, Reb Chaim did a switch, if you remember. He says that actually this now, he says, is like Shittat HaRambam, which is, that the flow was difficult to understand, it's still difficult to understand now. He says that this is where it was actually the opposite, because there's another way of understanding Shira Meir, because it's the Machloka Raven and Rambam. The Rambam says, actually, no, it's opposite. When does he need a Tanai Kaful? That's when it's based on a future event. I have a Mesa and a Chalot's going to be a future event. That's when you Tanai Kaful to prevent that from happening. But Almanat, I don't need a Tanai Kaful. So it's the opposite. So he says, well, I've got a simple way of getting out of it. Why don't I just simply make it Almanat? And then I don't need a Tanai Kaful. So the Gemara says, one second. Im lo kafal tanayo. Mi akar, not mi akar. Mi akar kiddushin. So what the Reb Chaim is saying is this will be another case of ambiguity. Why? Because if he says, you mekudesh me Almanat, that I'll give you such and such a sum of money and bring you such and such a day. What would happen? What would the complement, if you like the opposite thing, result be? Is it that you're not Mekudeshet at all? Or is it that, oh, if I then pay you the sum of money at a later date, even after that, maybe you are Mekudeshet? So there's still ambiguity there. So that's why it's, that's what Ruchaim says there. One second. Shim lo kafal havamina shiem Mekudeshet kishi yiten. As enu midin tnai, it's not din of a tnai being required to be a tnai kavod. Elu midin faresh dvarav. We need to understand what he's saying. Okay, once again, so again, that's the simfon itself. Is again the necessity is to make it clear what the intentions are rather than a dinner tonight also. That push that aside, that to do with machloka Rabbi Meir Chachamim. So Amar Rabbi Yossi Barbun, b'chol atar itle Rabbi Meir mimashma lava tashomeyahen. V'hacha lately. So just to explain once again, we've been saying quite clearly the Rabbi Meir here in Kiddushin sometimes requires, as we says, a tonight kafel. There are certain situations it's not based on that, where it's due to ambiguity, and therefore that's what the whole discussion before in the case of Eruvin was based on ambiguity, was based on Mikar Din Tnai Kaful. And we said it was all based on ambiguity, most of the cases, as we said, till now. But the Gemara now asking, look, we know Rabbi Meir requires a Tnai Kaful in our sugi here in Kiddushin right now. It's clear he needs it. But the issue is, in general, he says, Miklalava Tashomeahen, which means from a positive declaration, I can imply the negative. Okay, and that's sufficient. I don't need to say it two ways. And that's what we learn in Masechta Shavuot and the like. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, why suddenly in Kiddushin do we need this Tanai Kaful if I can just say Mikla Lavat Hashomehen? I can imply things one from the other. And if it is a clear implication, that should be sufficient. Well, the example was in Shavuot when he says, like, Hivarecha Yutavlecha. It doesn't matter. All these cases in the Masechta Shavuot, Mr. Shem, will get to it. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Maya Chomer Hu BaAriyot." Now, Chomer Hu BaAriyot is that when it comes to Ariyot, that's when Rebbe Meir is Machmir. So, in general, yes, you can say Miklav Alavatoshomayhen. However, when it comes to the Chumrat of Ariyot, say Karet, things like that. That's what we said. Rebbe Meir says, for it to be a tnai, sufficient tnai, I have a heightened requirement. So what we see already here is that it's not that Rebbe Meir holds for it to be a tnai, a condition universally, it needs to be a tnai kaful, otherwise it's not satisfactory. Because you can see, he holds that, he holds by it. It's just only when it comes to Eruvin, when it comes to, specifically, importantly, Kiddushin, not Eruvin, as we've seen, by Kiddushin, that for it to be a tonight, there's such a machmir thing we're talking about, it needs to be a double, a two-way tonight. Ah, but one second, Reb Chaim points out back in Masechta Eruvin, but one second, where did he learn it from? He learned it from Tnai Bnei Gadol Be'Eruvin. That's where he's deriving it from. That's not Kiddushin. They'll talk about land. And the answer is, do you know why? Because that's monetary. And when it comes to monetary matters, we don't say also Mikla Lava Tashomehen. Miklav Hashem is in Isurin, not a din in monetary things. So therefore they can learn one from the other because those are two spheres where we don't see Miklav Lavat Hashem. Okay, seder. So that was what we learned in Reuven in the Ketzer Stamish.
He could do even better than that.
Yeah.
Could say you can't have a Tanayim by Kedushin.
You can't have Tanayim at all?
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
No, meaning because you need data baal. You need data baal. So in other words, a tanai is a expression of that. It's universal. You can make it tanai. Okay. The question is, what is considered a submittable tanai? Like, what's considered a tanai itself? And that's where it raises a standard. That's what it's considered. Okay. Let's continue. Mm-hmm. What if he marries a woman and says, "Look, I thought she was about Cohen or I love you." I thought he was, and she wasn't. So, Levi, I thought it was Levi, and she's really a Bakoin. Ania, I thought she was poor, but Harishira, she's actually wealthy. Ashira, I thought she was wealthy. You know, that's what everyone told me. However, Harania, but she's actually ends up being not really that wealthy. Hareza Mekudesha Mipne Shelohitato. She didn't mislead him in any event, so it's Mekudesha, it's his own thing. So, just to make it clear, Korbaneda says, Ella hu hitayatatsmo. It was his misperception. The Kimadol Piresh, because he didn't explicitly say, I'm marrying you because I love your money, because he didn't say that, well, love law kol kamine, could have a lead Rim Shalev, it's a Rim Shabalev. Ah, the Gemara says it's not just that. It says Rebel Azar Omer Mikudesh Afil Beidim. Even if he is amongst a bunch of friends and he said, I got the best shidduch, she is rolling in it, and I'm so excited because that's why I'm marrying. If he says that, in other words, Kugon shamar lahem, he said to him, Kodem kiddushim, ani rotzeh lekadesh, I want to marry this woman, zu liyotzo kohenet, because it's a kohenet, mikom mekom kivin shikat stam, nonetheless, because he was mekadesh stam. And what his perceptions were with dvarim shebalev, enu dvarim, and mekudeshet. Rabbi Shmuel says, careful, mekudeshet lechumra. Mekudeshet lechumra means, if there are edim, we say it's mekudeshet misafek already. So he meaning, what's mekudesh misafik? So she need a get, obviously. But if somebody else came along and did kiddushin, it would be tofes misafek, so you need to get from both of them. That's what means misafek. So again, Rabbi Lazar said we completely dismiss it altogether. Going to Rabbi Shimon says, actually, Rabbi Shmuel says in Rabbi Zira, well, actually, if he's already got Aiden that says, I'm marrying her because she's so wealthy, then we've got a suffix case. Okay? Fine. That's his first pshat. And that's with his ikar. So Rabbi Yaakov Ba'achas says, B'shem Rabimi, Reuven chayv l'Shimon, let's say Reuven owes Shimon money. What he did is was samchei gabei Levi. So he says, okay, they agreed together that, you know, Levi will pay it off. And Levi says, I'm happy to pay it off. Okay, it happens sometimes, Ani can't pay. And he says to some wealthy person, he says, look, I'll take care of the funds. Not a problem. Okay, so once again, let's go. So Reuven was chayv to Shimon. Samchei gabe Levi. So sent to Levi. Suddenly, ifarsen Levi. And something happened to Levi. Different perushim here. According to Korbanet, either he became poor or he went mad or something like that. And he says, or maybe he ran away. All these different explanations, something happened to Levi. We say, late Reuven chayv l'Shimon. Reuven's not chayv to Shimon. Why? I'll show you the Korbanet very importantly. Koloma, you know, there's not chayv shalom. To Kevin Shkivesh Shimon and Levi, since Shimon already accepted full-heartedly that the debt was really being transferred to Levi, that so Levi is now the new Balchov. Even though that Shimon was assumed that Levi would be the type of guy who would be able to be reliable and pay back, Reuven still patu. Why? Based on what we've just said in our mission, this is something that it was in the assumption. He didn't say, oh, I'm only accepting it under understanding this guy's wealthy and he'll be able to pay back. He didn't say that. So and this helps Rabbi Elazar, like we said in our mission, like we said above. Because Rabbi Elazar says, Mukudesh afilu ba'edim, Javim Shainu Davarim. If you remember, that was debate on the mission of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shmuel. However, the Gemara says, careful. That's provided that when Reuven and Shimon came to this agreement to pass on to Levi, that Shimon wasn't setting him up. Meaning, it wasn't that he knew that he was about to skip the country, or he knew that he was about to foreclose, like, you know, there's foreclosures coming in, isn't dead. Aval asu barama, if you misled him, then we say that then clearly Shimon would still have to pay back Reuven, because it's almost like work like a mekachtad or something like that, something along those lines, that it was under a false pretense it was happening. Okay, so in other words, this seems to, again, the point of bringing this financial thing is to show that it's to support Shid Rebbe Lazar, that even if this individual says, oh, I'm marrying her to two guys, I want to marry this woman because she's got lots of money, and then they come into the wedding day, or Kiddushin, so the betrothal day, and Nisuin, and he just says, I'm a Kiddushat Li with big smiles on his face, then it's Dvarim Shebalev. And if she's not wealthy, then it's fully Mikudesh, not Safi Mikudesh. That's how it can seem to be. Okay, we've got more to work with in this Sugya, but we'll stop it.